we're talking about, we've been talking about what it means. Let's go there. Second Timothy, chapter 1. This is a declarative position. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. We've been talking about the Ark of the Covenant as a type of this fulfillment, or how the Ark, that Christ fulfilled the type. There's so much interest in, over the centuries, in finding the Ark of the Covenant, even movies about it. But let's go to Jeremiah 3. Been there a while. This is 620 BC. Let's start in verse 6. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, After she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, The backsliding Israel has justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. And I will take you, one of a city, and two of a family, and bring you to Zion. And I'll give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when you be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imaginations of their evil heart. In those days shall the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, How shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the hosts of nations? And I said, Thou shalt call me my father, and shall not turn away from me. That's pretty heavy. But the point, the one I want to concentrate on is verse 16. It shall come to pass, and be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. That's one of the most ignored scriptures in Judaism. But why? What's going on here? Jeremiah saw today. He saw the New Jerusalem, the land promised. He saw the mystery of God, that there would be people who feared him and have turned from their backsliding ways, from all nations. Amen? And why do we not see or even hear or talk about the Ark of the Covenant? Because it's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now there's all these scriptures about going into the pavilion and the New Testament. When you pray, go into that closet. The closet is that inner, it's not some building you build with your hands. It's that place that was revealed first in Christ and his very heart and is now in you, where there is no thing that is dependent on time, circumstance, or place. And it's revealed in you, and it's more real than what we can see with our senses and what we can know with our senses. And all it takes is our repentance. But we can't repent feignedly. We can't fake repentance. It's not the repentance of the world, which says, oh, I'm sorry, but it's the repentance of God. No more, it's godly repentance, no more to be repented of. That means you don't continue on and on and on, over and over and over. Amen? Yeah, what?
This is like Melito Sardi thing we read. Where,
yeah.
You know, the pattern is lost, surrendered its significance, that's the phrase. The fulfillment.
Amen. Now, our apprehension of the mystery, we touched on it yesterday or whenever we met last. We talked about the different similes or parables and where you understand that that Ark of the Covenant is. With the sheep and the shepherd parable, it said, make me a lodge for the shepherd. The vineyard and the keeper parable, make a booth for the keeper. The father and the child parable, make a house for the Lord. But finally, it's the husband and the wife. And that's the final. That gathers up all parables, all types, all tropes, into one great mystery of Christ and his bride. And so where you are with regard to being apprehended and apprehending the mystery is dependent on which parable you're able to think about or even understand. The first is the sheep and the shepherd. Let's go to 1 John, the second chapter. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And he saith, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. And again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. And now we come to this part. I write unto you, little children, darling infants, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, teenagers, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. And finally, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young man, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. And those different statements are the same apprehensions of how you see the mystery of God. It goes from this curiosity of a pagan down to darling infant, teenager, young man, father. I don't know how we can speed up this apprehension in us as a people. I don't know that you can. I don't know that anybody can speed it up. But I know that we can do a whole lot to slow it down. So all of our arguments, all of our justifications, simply reveal where we are in that trek between from the world to the New Jerusalem. In the Ark of the Covenant, it's in the study of the Ark, which I highly recommend you to do, will give you a picture of how the Ark first, when it was in a tent in the wilderness or a tabernacle, it moved finally into the promise. And it rested on all these different peaks or high places until finally, once the temple was dedicated, then it was a totally, completely different apprehension. And again, your apprehension follows the same path. Now, finally then, when we are in the New Jerusalem, when we know it, when we have seen the vanity of everything else, then the Ark of the Covenant disappears. Let's go to Luke 24. Read this many times, but it's really important in this understanding. Remember, this was on the feast day of concerning Passover. They were here, and they were in Jerusalem. I mean, it was the most people that had ever visited Jerusalem for one of the pilgrimage feasts, because it was the Jubilee year. Everybody came back to get their land back. But more important, all the people that had any spiritual knowledge or understanding, they knew that this was the year, this was the time that had been predicted by Daniel when all righteousness would be finished. The whole mystery of God would be completed. And so many of the people that had wealth, they came back early. They came back a year or two before. And they built their homes in Bethany and Bethpage. And this was the Highland Park of Jerusalem. And all, so a lot, that's where Mark was. Mark's family was from Crete. They moved their family back because of this, I'm sure of it. They knew that this was the end. This was the time that Messiah would appear. And he was very wealthy. He built an estate. And this is where the disciples held their last Passover. Now, every house in Jerusalem, every place of lodging, had to have the code, the city code guys. They had to have an upper, they had to have a place for pilgrims.
They had their own historical district.
They had to have a place for the pilgrims to come on these pilgrimage feasts. And there's these cities that surrounded Jerusalem. Bethany, Bethpage, Magdala, Emmaus. So now, these two disciples are walking back to Emmaus after one of the activities in Jerusalem. And it was the Feast of First Fruits, just about that time, and that's when Christ was ascended out of the grave on the Feast of First Fruits. And so now, verse 13, and behold, two of them went out that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together, of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Now why didn't we name the other one? There's two of them. One of them was Cleophas. The reason we didn't name the other one is because the other one was Luke, the one that wrote this passage and the one that wrote much of the book of Acts and etc. And in his humility, he did not put his name in this, as opposed to many others who put their name on these spurious gospels. Anyhow. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but they saw him not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Now, what does this have to do with the Ark of the Covenant? You shall say, you shall see it no more. You shall see him no more after the flesh, because he's inside you. Amen?
Amen.
I've read this before, but this is this old dealy. One day a rich man of miserly disposition visited a rabbi who took him by the hand and led him out to a window. Look out there, he said. The rich man looked out into the street. What do you see? I see men and women and little children. And the rabbi took him to a mirror and said, What else? What do you see now? I see myself. Behold, the window there is glass, and the mirror is glass also. But the glass of the mirror is covered with silver. No sooner is silver added than you cease to see others and see only yourself. Now, what is this silver? Why don't we, wherever we look, why don't we see the New Jerusalem? Why don't we, when we read the scriptures, why don't we see him in his perfection of holiness? Because we see us. We see yourself, because you've the silver of trying still after all these years of trying to put forth and make some effort toward your own redemption. And everywhere you look is a mirror. What does this mean to me? How can I use this? That's why that's all your mind can do because of the curse. You understand?
Yeah.
Sir, we would see Jesus. Well, then the answer is, sir, then die. No longer see yourself. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to read some more scriptures about the ark, but for now, a little bit of understanding? Any expansions on the tail?
That's a little bit to the abdomen.
Adds a whole lot, doesn't it?
It was understating for effect.
John?
We talked last night about the more about the Exodus going from crossing the Red Sea to being at the holy place on the mercy seat.
Amen.
So it's become an inward thing, you know, rather than an outward form in any way, you know, not just the building of the Ark of the Covenant, or I think it's like what we read in Christ.
Amen.
Everything is in Christ. He's the Ark. He's everything.
From now on, it's yet not I. Yet not I. We can live in his presence because he is in us. The only thing that's keeping you from it is your mind. Amen?
Amen.
Take it, big guy.
Yeah.